We thought a suitable Bible reading for this evening would be this one from Matthew 10, verses 1 to 20. Jesus is sending out the 12. We are only sending out 3. Thank goodness. Jesus had more confidence and courage. He was sending them all. And he sends them out with clear instructions to take nothing with them. No money, no things. So in obedience to that, we have, the three of you, we've bought you no presents and we've cancelled your removal vans. And he also sends them out into an uncertain future. He tells them he's sending them out as sheep among wolves. That they may find a warm welcome and ready listeners, but that they may not. So we will pray for you that indeed you do find warm welcomes where you go and eager listeners. But with that uncertainty, he sends them out with a number of benefits and advantages. Firstly, he sends them out with his authority. Interestingly, it's authority to drive out evil spirits and cure every kind of disease or sickness. And I wonder if that's how we would describe ministry now. But perhaps we could say with authority to combat evil and to bring healing wherever they go. It's perhaps a good description of the kind of ministry Susan has and goes on to do more of. So he sends them out with authority. He sends them out with a clear message to proclaim, namely, the kingdom of God is near. And again, I wonder how close that is to what we preach now. But in a way, the preacher has become the preached one, and we preach and proclaim Jesus, Son of God, crucified and risen. And he sends them out as well with help, with the Spirit, who will give them the words to say. So as we send Gareth and Helen and Susan on their way, we are glad to send them with Christ's authority, with Christ's clear gospel message, and with the help of the Spirit. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to cure every kind of disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff. For the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not your peace, will return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. But be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. We thank God for his word to us. Amen. Now, I've asked one person to speak about each of our levers. And so, first of all, Pete Nelson is going to speak to us about Gareth.
Gareth, where is he? I see him. We've said our goodbyes to Gareth this morning at Findon, and that was a great service to have together. But I remember Gareth when we first met him at Findon. He came with his wife and family, and like Findon, everything we do is usually around a meal time. So we had a meal together, and we got to know them. And the best way to get to know a minister, actually, is be the actual one who's responsible for the house they're moving into. And at that time, before Mike Bagworth took it over, and he's not looking too bad on it, I was doing that job. And my overwhelming remembrance of Gareth is turning up one Saturday morning when it was like today, it was actually pouring with rain. The removal men were there with two vans. One lot was outside wet through, passing the stuff into somebody, the ones on the inside who got no shoes on and were dry. And I got there on the Friday, not the Saturday, the Friday. And I found them all gathered in the hall. "Have you got a problem?" I said. He said, "Yes, how do you get a 92-inch wardrobe into a 90-inch room?" We managed it on the Saturday morning. It was nearly a miracle. But that was one of the things, the practical side of me. And if you want to get to know a minister, be with them when they move in on that day. You see a different side of you. You see the real person. I know one of the other two. I don't know Sue very well, but I know Helen. My wife used to wonder where I got to. I spent more time with Helen when she moved in than my wife. That's another story. We met Gareth and Laura. And straight away, as soon as I met him and had read his profile, because sometimes, you know, you read a minister's profile and when the minister comes, you wonder whether you've read the right profile. But I'd read Gareth's profile. And I found a man there who'd got three things about him. It's not going to be a sermon, it's all right. Three things about him that really impressed me. Gareth is through and through a Methodist minister. He believes in Methodist doctrine. Evangelically, he believes in what John Wesley said when he said, "All men need to be saved, all men can be saved, all men can know they're saved, and all men can be saved to the uttermost." The basis of our Methodist doctrine. A sound man. Secondly, I warm to Gareth because I discovered over a time that he loved Cliff College, as I do. He came with a BA and ended up with an MA at Cliff. And he disappears there at odd times for a time of study and, I believe, retreat. There's something about Cliff. And then there's something about Cliff that when he used to go in the old days, he used to go up the main drive, and there used to be a large banner over the drive. And it used to say, "Ye shall receive power." When you'd been to Cliff and you came out and you read the other side, it said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" Gareth also is a Methodist minister, loves Cliff, I believe, but most of all loves his Lord. Because he has received power. If ever there was a spirit-filled man that I've met, and I've met some ministers in my time, he's one of the spirit-filled ones. And I believe that the thing that's in his heart is what the saying at Cliff, all for Christ and Christ for all. Gareth has been our minister at Findon and here at LMC. I don't know a lot about his ministry here at LMC, but I'm sure if it's any reflection of what we at Findon have found, you know, usually when a minister's got a big church like yours here at LMC and a little church like us at Findon, we hardly ever see them except for communion once a month. Not with Gareth. We have never felt at Findon that we've been shortchanged, as it were, because of the smaller church. He's led us spiritually along the journey. And Findon is far greater now than it was when he came. We owe a lot to Gareth that I think we'll only discover really in the future. A man of God, a man of understanding, a man who's a real man. When I'm talking to Gareth, I'm talking to somebody who's younger than my children and just a bit older than my grandchildren. A young man, but of mature years. I'm sure here at Littleover, you've found the same. I think the folks down at Plymouth are in for a blessing. Through God, from God, through Gareth. So Gareth, Laura, and your three, of course there's only three of you when you arrived, now there's five of you. I pray that God will bless you as a family. Through the next weeks when you're finding your way around, finding people who you can talk to, developing friendships, that God will bless you and use you mightily. And I shall watch the minutes of conference over the next years to see when the Reverend, maybe then the Dr. Gareth Higgs, MA, is President-elect. A prophetic word, brother. Gareth, Laura, our blessing on you. And our deepest thanks for all that you've done within this circuit and district. Because he's done a lot more than just been here at LMC and Findon. His talents have been used because they were quite great. Every blessing on you and Godspeed.
Evening, everyone. Pete, I'll shove you that 20 quid later on. With great apologies to my friends here and at Findon, who have heard my one leaving speech already. I've only got one leaving joke, which I'm about to repeat now. Maybe you could pretend that you've not heard it before, and that it was even funnier than you heard it last time. There was a Methodist minister who came to an occasion just like this and stood before the congregation and gave an account of their ministry and concluded by saying, "Folks, Jesus called me here and it is Jesus that is calling me on." He went and sat down. The senior circuit steward stood up and said, "We shall now sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus." The little over folk did very well to pretend they'd never heard that before. But there's something of a reality in that joke, as I've said in other places, that Laura and I, and I guess the children to some degree as well, do feel with a depth of sincerity that it is God who is calling us on. In the natural sort of scheme of things, we feel like our work isn't finished. We've only just got going, really. But a year ago, almost to this week, we were at New Wine with a group of people from this church, and we received 8 scriptures given to us, or prophetic words, or words of knowledge spoken to us, largely by people we didn't know, all about moving on. We therefore put ourselves in the pot, or, you know, the stationing system, whatever you call it, and have tried to trust our future to God's grace. We believe it's Jesus who is calling us on, and it is into his hands, his safe hands, that we rather unwillingly pledge ourselves and commit our life. It's interesting, as Jenny was reading, don't worry about what you have to say, but it'll be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. I was thinking, what on earth am I going to say? I don't claim that this is at all from the Spirit, but I was struck by the verse in the reading, freely you have received, freely give. A few years ago, I discovered that was scripture, not just a bad Christian chorus. Freely you have received. There was an amen here at the front. Freely give. We, as a family, have received more from the saints of God here in Derby than we could ever have hoped to give away. We have received friendship and colleagueship. In the congregations, we've had stewardship over with the circuit colleagues as well. I've discovered that even raving liberals like Helen and Susan can be even be good friends, even if they are part-time, Susan. We've received the prayers of the saints, not just from our own congregations here at Findon and also in this last year at St Martin's, but we have met people, bumped into them at Tesco and things like this, or bumped into them at circuits events, people saying, I'm praying for you. That's usually people that used to be at Little Over and moved elsewhere and knew how much we would need the prayers. But seriously, we've received the prayerfulness of God's people, and that's been great. We've received 2 children. We came with just Joseph, who was 2. We're leaving with Joseph, Naomi, and baby Beth. She's just 8 weeks old tomorrow. And so we have received children. And lastly, we've received great experience, certainly I have anyway, valuable lessons in life and in ministry. And together, I guess, those become lessons in the Lord. For me, ministry is about mobilizing the people of God to mission. And it's about enabling God's people, the church, and others on the fringe or even outside of it to understand the extravagant and transforming grace of God that we find in the gospel. Yeah, I am a Methodist minister through and through, a proper one that believes our doctrines. And I believe them because they're wonderful. All of God's grace, that we're undeserving of God's mercy and kindness, but still he showers it upon us. And having received it ourselves, how could we not go to the highways and byways and share it with others, that they too are loved, valued, treasured, saved and redeemed by this wonderful God we have, who has given us so much in the gospel. I've said far too much, so it's about time that I announce the hymn. And that means I can't. What do you mean, amen? We're going to sing We Have a Gospel to Proclaim. Perhaps we'll sing, Martin, just the 3rd verse with just voices. There's enough folk here to make a noise. And as it's the circuit, not the LMC congregation, some of them might actually sing. So let's stand together and sing this wonderful hymn. We Have a Gospel to Proclaim. Thank you for all your kindness to us.
Now I'd like to invite Judith Neal to come and express some thanks to Susan. And while she does, Can I congratulate you on your appointment as a lay worker to assist with ministry in the Alistry section? We look forward to formally welcoming you on the 1st of September.
Thank you. Susan. Oh, she's good. She's on the front row. I don't have to look for her. So Reverend Susan came to Derby Circuit 4 years ago to take up a part-time appointment as District Safeguarding Officer and as the Minister for Sinfin Moor LEP. Now, whilst at Sinfin, Susan, you have literally raised the roof with a new welcome area and a roof that no longer leaks. That's a really vital part, that the roof does not leak. The church has grown under your leadership, with new people joining. And Susan has a great ability to spot where people might find themselves able to use their unique talents. And as a result, many more people have been involved within the church family. As her stewards tell me, she is a skilled delegator. Now, I am aware, Susan, that you would prefer this to be a very short talk, and so I will oblige you. However, it's always an however, I must draw everyone's attention to a qualification that Susan gained while she's been here. Ever forging forwards, ever wanting to know more. Susan has gained a qualification very few of us, I think, have actually got, because she gained her chocolate Go For It badge with the first Sinfin Guides. This was a challenge given to her by the girls who she had visited several times as part of her mission and ministry. She joined in, didn't you? And had to design a new chocolate bar and a wrapper to go with it, as well as tasting the chocolate. Susan, if you need to demonstrate your chocolate skills, you know where I am. So it just remains to thank you for sharing your love of God and Christ whilst with us here in Derby. And we wish you Godspeed and blessings as you take up your safeguarding role as a full-time role. God bless.
Good evening, everybody. When I moved into the vicarage, because Sinfin Moor Church is an LEP, there was this gift on the windowsill. It's a tiny brick, and it's been for me a great symbol of things that we've done at Sinfin. We've already mentioned that we've raised the roof at Sinfin. What they haven't told you is I've actually been on the roof as well. So Sinfin Moor Church is the only church where I've been on the roof. And it was when the construction company were around and they looked at me and they said, "You wouldn't want to go up there, would you?" And I said, "What will I need?" And they said, "A strong pair of boots." And so I put a strong pair of boots on and up I went onto the roof. And that was amazing, just to get that other perspective and that other view. But it's not the building that's been important. There's a great sense of pride in what we have achieved in the change of our building. But it's about building the hospitality and welcome of the church that's been the really significant thing. And that's been inspired by folks here at Little Over. We came to visit up here and we met key people who work in hospitality here. So that was sharing the wisdom from here that we could learn from in our church too. And that was really good and a really good part to play within the circuit as well. So the bricks for me represent that hospitality and that welcome, the welcome that is for all people. But it's only a half-time job down at Sinfin. And actually, it's been a squeezed half-time job, because the other half-time job has been as the district safeguarding officer, and that's been much more than a half-time job. So that's been quite challenging, and the folks at Sinfin have been incredibly gracious through my time here, as probably they've seen less and less of me as the other job has grown. I've had a small role in the circuit, and that's been to train people in safeguarding foundation module. Hands up if you've been while I've been there. There's a few waves. And I've preached a small number of churches in the evenings as well, and it's always been good to know people, get to know people, and to share that too. And that welcome that we offer and that we learn about in our safeguarding is about a safe welcome for all, because when we want to practice hospitality, we have to do that with good care. And those two things very much come together for me. So I don't know why there was a brick on my windowsill. And if it was a wedding, I might feel like a bouquet that I should throw it out and see who catches it and who'll take the ministry forward. But I suspect that the folks at Little Ove might worry about their windows because my throw isn't very good. I want to say thank you to the circuit who've been very gracious in this place, to the circuit stewards who worked in partnership with the Anglican Diocese to prepare the vicarage, and the folks at Sinfin who also worked hard. And I always remember there's a great big box full of cake when I arrived, just the generosity there as well. So I want to say thank you to the folks at Sinfin. I want to say thank you to my colleagues for the journeys that we've shared, for the fun and the laughter along the way, and the support that we've given one another. Thank you very much to you all. Folks at Sinfin said to me a while ago, Susan, when you move on, when they were shocked and heard the news, because I'm going a year early, when you move on, Susan, will we see you again? And I said to them then, well, you will if you create a safeguarding issue. So I hope, Derby Circuit, you're not going to take this personally, but I really hope I'm not going to see you again. But I know that in many ways our paths will cross again, and no doubt we'll be training and all sorts of things. And it's been good to be part of this circuit and for my ministry to grow. I have actually gained a qualification other than the chocolate Go For It badge whilst I've been here. I gained an MA in Safeguarding Adults, Law, Policy and Practice. And it was the hardest academic thing that I've ever done in my life. And it took me a whole sabbatical to do it. So thank you to you all.
And we're going to sing a hymn that Susan chose for us. Let us build a house where love can dwell. And now I'd like to invite Alan Castledine to come and speak to us about Helen.
My abiding memory of Helen goes back to the first time that she came to visit us at St John's. She came in and sat on the pew at the back of the lounge, but being Helen, she sat on the pew cross-legged, like a little pixie, because her feet wouldn't reach the floor. Over the years, this is something that we've got used to. Despite being vertically challenged, as my daughter would put it, this has not stopped Helen from throwing everything into all that's been happening at church. You'll often see her carrying tables and chairs around, and she's even been seen at the top of a pair of steps cleaning the windows when we've had a spring clean. My wife runs a tots club on a Tuesday morning at St John's, and I understand that Helen can often be seen crawling around on the floor of the lounge, surrounded by toys and babies, thoroughly enjoying herself. Helen's also been involved with the uniformed organisations. She's been more than happy to lend a hand to load camping equipment onto the van when the guides have gone off to camp, and she's also been there to offload and pitch the tents at the other end. And the girls have really enjoyed her camping with them, and she's taken a full part in all of the activities. Seeing her doing cartwheels and rolling down grassy slopes is not really what you associate with the job description of a Methodist minister. Shortly before Helen joined St John's, The numbers at the evening services had fallen to a level where it had been decided that the services were no longer viable. It wasn't long, however, before Helen decided that the time was probably right to try something different. And she introduced a monthly Bible study and a monthly reflective worship service. And this has been very much appreciated, with about 12 or 15 people attending each event. And it's not necessarily the same people that attend each of the events. There have been many changes in our section of the circuit, with Darley Abbey closing and Duffield joining us. But Helen has coped with it all without any complaints. She'll be greatly missed by all of us, and we wish her Godspeed as she travels up to Leeds. We already have some spies in the camp up there, so we should be able to keep in touch with her. No doubt she'll soon find areas to walk in the Yorkshire Dales, but it doesn't compare to Derbyshire. So, Helen, on behalf of St John's, Alistry and Duffield, thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you.
I did confess this morning that when I came here, I didn't really like the Peak District. But you'll be glad to know that over the last 8 years, I have changed my mind. I do now really love the Peaks. I was a Lake District person, you see, and I didn't quite get used to the difference, but I have now. It's familiar, and I enjoy it. A few verses from the Old Testament. From Psalm 16, "You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And from Jeremiah, "Thus says the Lord, stand at the crossroads and look, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way lies, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. But they said, we shall not walk in it." Later on, Jeremiah writes, "With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path in which they will not stumble." And Isaiah said, "I will lead the blind by a road they do not know. By paths they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I will do, and I will not forsake them." I guess many of you will be unsurprised by my choice of a few verses about paths. Many of you have had me come to your churches, your fellowship groups, and share stories and pictures of my many different journeys. I've managed to tuck in a few more journeys while I've been here, the more distant ones to India, but closer to home, up into the Peak District and to this beautiful area that I've come to love. The psalmist celebrates that God shows the path of life, and with God is fullness of joy. And I guess if you were choosing a photograph to represent fullness of joy, you'd each choose something different. But for me, the fullness of joy has come in walking through the valleys and hills of the Peak District, enjoying the scenery and the encounters with people on the way. And then exploring the paths nearer to home. Some of you will recognise this. The walk through Darley Park and the view of the Weir through the seasons in different moods. Do we grumble at some seasons, like the overly hot weather that we've just been having? I try not to. I like to enjoy the variety of the seasons, the good bits and those a bit more of a challenge. But I am still working on that. And on taking the time on my walk through life to enjoy the fullness or abundance which God gives me and thanking God for it. And many is the time that I've stood at a cross paths and wondered, which way should I go? And I look at the map and the written instructions, if I've got any. I look around at my surroundings and try to work out how to match them up and which way I should be going. And it's not unusual for me to start walking in one direction and realise that wasn't quite the right way and I need to go the other. Stand at the crossroads. Ask for the ancient paths and walk in them, said Jeremiah. Do I take as much care over which way to go in life as I do over which footpath to take next? After all, the consequences may be rather more serious than having to walk a couple of extra miles. How often do we take the time to ask, which way is the right way? And do we always then walk in the way that we are shown? Find the good ways and walk in them. Oh, that it was always as obvious as that, as to where the footpath went. Clear and easy. The right path isn't always the clear and easy one. Sometimes there are beasts in the way. There's undergrowth to be ploughed through. And yes, both of those are local. Do we refuse the way that God shows, as did the people to whom Jeremiah was speaking? And what happens when the path is blocked? Is there another way? Is the blockage suggesting we should go another way? Or are they obstacles to be overcome? One thing I've learnt is to accept advice or assistance, to take notice that there's a temporary footpath closure and I ought to go a different way. Do we accept the help offered by our fellow pilgrims? The tricky bit where a steadying hand is needed. And then there come the times when we realise, like those Israelites, that we need to turn back to God and to walk by the streams, the quiet waters where God leads us. That's just like that moment when I realise that my map reading is in error. It's not the map that's wrong or the ground, and I need to retrace my steps. Far better if I've not gone too far when I realise that. And the final verse I read. God promises in Isaiah, light in the darkness and rough places made smooth. If you've been to Kedleston recently, you'll have seen that last autumn they smoothed out the path, the long walk round the grounds. Isaiah promises that God will make rough places smooth. The paths we walk in. So I give thanks for my time in Derby, the many opportunities for different journeys, nearby and far away. It's not only the walking that I've enjoyed. I've valued all that I've learned from you, and the opportunities that I've had here. And I will miss you and the city and the countryside around. And I look forward to continuing to follow Jesus in the company of new groups of people, even if there are a few spies up there. Learning from them as we help each other out on the tricky bits and enjoy the good bits. I pray that you too will continue to walk in the right paths, whatever they may be, wherever God is leading you.
offering and accepting assistance when it's needed, that steadying hand, or the word suggesting we might be better going a different way. So will you join me as we sing this next hymn, committing ourselves to walk the path that will cost as much and embrace the pain and sorrow, trusting to the one who entrusts to us the disciples of tomorrow. Have you heard God's voice? Has your heart been stirred?